Hey, this is Dean Cortez, and I'm back here in the studio with my man, John Sin. Now, if you've been following this whole interview series, you know that this session, number 6, is the final one. We've covered all kinds of topics and areas of pickup, attraction, and seduction. We started off with techniques to annihilate your approach anxiety, and we went all the way up through advanced conversation techniques and using rapport and qualification to drive up a woman's interest and curiosity and make her actually chase you and want to pursue you. So now here we are at interview number 6. We're going to cover closing the deal, okay? And this is a huge one, obviously. Very few guys have the balls and have the knowledge and the technique to close the deal effectively and consistently. In some cases, that might mean getting her phone number, a good phone number, not a flaky phone number. And in other cases, it might mean taking her home from a club or a bar for sex tonight. Now, John, I know you're a master at this stage of the game, and so I want to jump right into this. I want to start by asking you about the importance of having sort of a closer mindset. See, guys like you, and like myself too, you know, we go into these interactions and these conversations with an outcome in mind. You know, usually that outcome is sex that night. If not, it's definitely at least getting a solid phone number. And I would say, John, this is one of the key differences between guys who are exceptionally good with girls and get laid as much as they want, and then the rest of the guys. The guys who are really good have a closer mindset. They're always going to go for that close. And then you have the rest of the guys who don't go for the close because they don't want to blow it. They don't want to seem too forward or like they're moving too fast. You know, they want to try to be friends first with the girl and try to conceal the fact that they want to bang her, you know, and then hopefully hang out with her again and build a relationship from there. But what usually happens is they don't get that chance. You know, the girl has no sexual interest in them and it doesn't go anywhere. So, John, I want to ask you about this closer mentality and why you feel it is so important. I mean, I know you've got it for sure.
Absolutely. I think you got to kind of think about it in terms of opportunities, right? If you spend a decent amount of time, I like to think 25 minutes with a girl, you should always try to get her phone number. 100% of the time, even if, you know, she says she has a boyfriend or whatever, because you never know. What happens when you get on the phone and you kind of start farming phone numbers, so to speak, is some girls flake out that you thought were really on, some girls that were not that on want to hang out, and there's an element of randomness to it. So you always want to get as many phone numbers as you can because you don't want to throw away pussy. Like, you never know which girls are going to kind of turn into what. So it's really important that you're always escalating, that you're getting numbers or trying to move things forward, because you never know what's going to happen with a cold approach, right? Like, a lot of the time you're talking about girls you're not going to see again otherwise, right? Like, a girl you meet at a private party with, like, a few friends, if you don't get her phone number, it's not that big of a deal. But on cold approach, you're literally never going to see that girl ever again if you don't get some form of contact information. And then, even more than that, you have to then follow up, because I know a lot of guys then don't follow up. Like, they get scared to call the numbers or whatnot. You have to kind of depersonalize it. I think about it, like I said, like farming numbers, you know, like you get the numbers and you put them through a follow-up system and you see what happens. You can't get too personally attached to any one girl until you've had sex with her, you know? So it's really important that you, until sex, you just treat it like any other phone number, and that the more of these you accumulate, you know, the more dates you're going to go on, and the more lays you're going to get. So it's an integral part to developing a sex life that you're going to be happy with, is to always be closing. Like, even if you get flaky numbers or whatnot, it's better than not getting numbers at all. Like, you've gotta have some sort of tangible result to show you that you're making progress as well, right? Because otherwise, you can just spin your wheels for a really long time, and that's not really all that helpful.
Okay, so as far as getting phone numbers, do you have a certain technique that you use to get a girl's phone number in a way that is smooth and natural and not awkward?
Yeah, I mean, I actually have a pretty complex system, but I'll give you a quick rundown on it. Basically, the idea is you don't want to just get a girl's number. You want to set up a date for a specific time and a specific place, right? So let's say you find a commonality you have with her, like you both like to do karaoke. You want to, instead of being like, give me your number, let's hang out, I'd be like, oh my God, on Wednesday, me and my friends do karaoke. You got to come. It's Wednesday around 7. Here, let's just exchange numbers and we can figure out who's going to drive and all that stuff, you know, later in the week. And just real matter of fact, the phone number in itself, there's no point at all in just getting a girl's phone number. Like, it's better than nothing, but in order to, like, get a girl to actually show up, it helps so much to have a specific time, specific place, because the psychological principle of commitment and consistency kicks in. It also, she doesn't get weirded out that, like, oh, we're going to hang out. Like, what are we going to do? Is it going to be boring? Is he going to invite me on a date that I don't want to go on? All that stuff gets thrown out of the window. And then I'll just exchange phone numbers with her there, and I'll be like, okay, well, call me from your phone, because I never pick up numbers I don't know, so I want to make sure that we, like, save, because if I don't know your number, I won't pick up, right? And that's just because you want to make sure that you get your number into her phone, because girls do not pick up phone numbers they don't know, like, 100%. I have a ton of female friends and girls I'm seeing, and not one of them ever picks up a number they don't know. And sometimes I'll put it in with, like, a funny nickname. I'll be like, put it in John, you know, hottest guy ever, or, like, John, you know, great kisser, or, like, John huge cock, you know? When I call, she knows who it is. That's like, a big part of it. Because a lot of the time, especially in bars and clubs, you're meeting girls who are drunk. So they may not remember you the next day, or if they do, their memory might be hazy. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I've texted a girl and gotten, like, who is this, and then ended up having sex with her anyway, like, I'd have a lot of dollars. So just because a girl doesn't remember you doesn't necessarily mean you did a bad job. It could just be that she was drunk. That's something to think about as well. And that's why getting your number into her phone and having a name that she sees just makes it a lot easier.
John, a moment ago, you mentioned a term called commitment and consistency, which is a really powerful principle to use with women. And I want to make sure our listeners understand what this means. Can you run that down for us, commitment and consistency?
Sure. Commitment and consistency is a psychological trigger of influence written about by Robert Cialdini, who's a famous social psychiatrist. Basically, the idea is that human beings have this thing called cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is our most powerful psychological factor. And what cognitive dissonance is it's when we don't feel comfortable with the way we're acting, right? So cognitive dissonance exists to explain our behavior and give us mechanisms by which to act in a way that makes us more comfortable. So, for example, if you ask a girl to hang out sometime, there's no actual commitment on her part, right? She's like, yeah, sure, but there's no actual real-life commitment. She's just like, oh, sure, but she's committing to nothing tangible, right? So it doesn't trigger the power of commitment and consistency. But if you invite a girl to something specific and she says, yes, I'll definitely be there, the chances of her flaking go down like 80%, because that cognitive dissonance kicks in and she doesn't want to be the kind of person who agrees to go to things and then flakes, right? So now she's got internal pressure on herself to show up on the date as well, because she told you she would, as opposed to just telling you she'd hang out at some later time at a later date, which is not going to trigger the same thing. Because psychologically, once we commit to things, we're going to be consistent with that. Otherwise, cognitive dissonance kicks in and we get real uncomfortable.
All right, and now as far as getting her out with you on this date, I think one of the big mistakes the guys make is framing it as a date, making it seem like a date. They call the girl up and they say, hey, well, maybe if you're not busy sometime, we could have dinner, or we can go to dinner and a movie. You know, they frame it as a date. They're asking the girl out on a date. And so what they're doing is they are surrendering the power to her. They're basically saying to her, I like you. I really want to be with you. I'm dying to sleep with you. So could I please bring you out on a date and spend money on you in an attempt to impress you and bribe you into liking me? You know, that's what a date kind of feels like to a woman. So instead, the way I always frame it is I call the girl up or I text her and I invite her to join me on an activity that I already have in motion. I'm going to go grab some coffee somewhere. I'm going out to a bar on Friday night and I get her excited about joining me. I tell her I know this awesome coffee shop that has the best cake, or I know this really cool bar with an amazing DJ on Friday night. I'm going to roll over there at 8 o'clock. She should come join me. You know, I frame it like that. And that pretty much eliminates any rejection, because with or without her, I'm going to do these things, or so it sounds, right? So when I get a girl's phone number, I usually do plan a time and a place to see her again. I make a definitive plan with her, but it's not a date. It is an activity that I have on my schedule, and I'm inviting her to roll with me and have some fun.
Ah, see, now you've touched upon the very touchy issue of hard versus soft number closing, right? So I would agree with you that, like, in a lot of cases, it's a bad idea to specifically frame things as a date unless there's a ton of chemistry and compatibility, because then the fact that you frame it as a date, like, I use the two separate phrases, right? I always think about it in terms of the I'd like to take you with me date or the I want you to come tag along date, right? If a girl's really into me and for some reason I can't get her home that night, then I'll invite her to the same thing, because I think dinner's a terrible date, because girls don't like eating in front of guys they just met, and they don't like the bad I mean, dinner's just a horrible date for a lot of reasons. But by simply changing the phrase that I use to invite her, I can either create more of a connection and make her feel special, or I can be more aloof and high value, right? So if it's really on and I've been talking to this girl for 3 hours, I'd go, you know, I want to do karaoke and I'd really like to bring you with me, right? And then I'll actually frame it as a date, because girls do have sex with guys they go on dates with. And, like, if you're good on a date, like, I have, like, a 90% success rate for closing on the first date. So it's not the end of the world if it's really on. It's the end of the world if the girl's kind of mediocre on you and you, like, you come off too needy, right? If the girl's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, it was fun talking to you, and you're like, yeah, you know, me and my friends are doing karaoke, you should tag along. But that would be better, because she's less committal, so you give her a less committal thing so that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't give you like a, oh, well, I'm busy Wednesday, but call me, you know. That way you can just go, oh, yeah, you should tag along. Well, I'll get your number, and, like, I'll text you close to the time of, and if you're not busy, you know, come by. If not, no big deal, right? So there's definitely different ways you can play it depending on how into you sense the girl is.
Well, what about getting her email address? And I mention this because one pretty well-known dating guru suggests that you ought to just get the girl's email. You say to the girl, hey, so do you have email? And then, of course, she says yes. Everyone has email. It sounds totally non-threatening. And then you have her write it down for you, and you contact her that way. I mean, I think it's sort of a weak move. What do you think? I mean, for some guys, it sounds better because they don't need to ask for the phone number.
Dumbest thing ever recommended by a dating guru of all time. Literally the stupidest dating advice ever. Because think about it. Like, you have to go, it's adding an extra step. Not only, even, the only thing worse than that is getting, like, a Facebook or a MySpace. Because, like, you have to get the girl in person, you have to go from email to the phone to, or to text message to the phone to in person, right? Like, there's an extra step you're adding that just, like, the chances of you making it through that extra step, if the girl doesn't like you enough to give you her phone number, so low. Very, very low.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Now, as far as how long you wait until you contact her on the phone, this is a question a lot of guys stress out about. They don't want to call her too soon because they don't want to seem too eager, and they don't want to wait too long because they're afraid the girl's going to forget about them. I remember this line in the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin, where the 40-year-old virgin gets the girl's phone number, and he's talking to his buddy, and he's freaking out. You know, when should I call her? How long should I wait? And his buddy says, well, when's the next Olympics? And, you know, the idea being that you should wait as long as possible before you reach out to her, which I think is, again, ridiculous. But what's your rule on this, John?
Well, I always text first. There's no right or wrong answer on this. I'll say, like, with a cold approach, I'll generally text the girl within 2 to 4 hours to get the first phone contact out of the way when the emotional momentum is highest, right? Because I want to get that first text conversation out of the way so that we have communicated back and forth, so I don't have to have the first text with her cold, right? There's a big difference, like, if you text the girl the same night or, like, you know, 2 hours later if you met her in the day, than if you text her the next day. So I like to, in that 2 to 4 hour window, I like to send a text ping, which is just a little thing that, like, I'll send something like, hey, princess, do you speak text? Or, like, hey, VIP phone number, store with care. Or, like, you know, some inside joke about something we were just talking about. And I'll go back and forth with her maybe once, and then I'll end the text conversation first. The whole point there is just to get her used to communicating with me on the phone while she still remembers how good the interaction was. If it's a cold approach, I'll call the next day, because it's way easier to get a girl out on the phone than it is through text. It's much, much easier. Like, I'm really good. Both of us are writers, so you're probably pretty good at text too. Like, I've gotten to the point where I'm almost as good at text as phone, but for most guys, it's going to be much easier on the phone because there's a lot more social pressure. You can frame control things away better. You can use humor better. Like, she can get inflection in your voice. You can be more commanding. So I definitely recommend, if you're going to go for the meet, try to get her on the phone. The thing on the phone is you're just trying to build comfort. Guys misunderstand the phone pretty badly. They think it's just a way to like set up dates. The phone is basically a preview of the date. I'll never forget, like, one of the great girlfriends I've ever had, this girl Marie that I met when I was going to USC film school. I met her and we had sex on our first date, and we talked on the phone a lot though. Like, there was probably like 2 weeks between when we could coordinate schedules to hang out the first time, and we probably talked on the phone for like 2 to 3 hours a day. And we had sex like pretty quickly, and afterwards I like to debrief girls. I like to ask them when they knew they were going to have sex with me, because a lot of the time you'll get real bad answers, like the stripper who told me when you walked into the strip club, which is just useless because, like, you're a liar. Like, this girl said, well, I mean, I knew that when we were talking on the phone, it was fun to talk to you, so I knew it wouldn't be boring or weird or awkward in person, and I figured if we hung out enough, we'd eventually have sex. So she was like, the first time we talked on the phone for, like, 2 hours, I pretty much knew we were going to have sex. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Because basically, the only difference between the phone and in person is that in person, you can try to fuck her, right? Like, in person, you can try to physically escalate. But basically, if you can't talk to her on the phone and be normal and comfortable and fun, then her reason to show up for the date pretty much drops to zero, because it's not going to be fun and you're going to try to have sex with her. So that's kind of the big phone misunderstanding that I think most guys make.
And, you know, another really important aspect of closing with girls, whether it's getting that solid phone number or whether it's getting the same night lay, is using touch, which is also referred to as kino in the seduction community. The idea being you're going to physically touch the girl in some ways during that first interaction. It can be light, playful touching at first, you know, giving her a high five or having a little thumb wrestling match with her. There's all kinds of ways to establish touch, and then you've got to escalate. You've got to gradually build towards more intimate touching. Now, obviously, the level of kino and touching that you can get away with depends a lot on the circumstances and the environment. You know, a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be different than talking to a girl on a street corner. But there are always ways to establish some form of touch, and it's really important as far as building her comfort level with you and laying that groundwork for the close. So, John, give me your thoughts on this.
Sure. Touching is super important. Like, when I think about game, I kind of think about it in terms of three separate tracks, right? You have your verbal escalation, where you're trying to get her to qualify herself, you're trying to get her to agree to a date, to get comfortable talking about sex. You have your logistical escalation, where you're moving her around the venue into isolation, maybe you bounce them to another bar, maybe you walk from the bookstore to grab a cup of coffee across the street. Then you also have your physical escalation. So those three things, we want to be escalating all the time as much as possible. You really, besides the daytime, you can't really overtouch. It's a really, really important part of the game. And one of the things that guys mess up most consistently is the touching. Because they either treat it like they're gaining yards on a football field where they just like maul the girl, or they don't touch enough, or they get to one point, like when I used to teach boot camps every weekend, I used to make a running joke about the 15-time elbow touch, because you'd get guys who, like, we'd yell at all weekend to, like, touch more, and so they'd talk to a girl for 25, 30 minutes, move her around, and all they'd do is touch her on the elbow, and then you'd be like, dude, you never touched that girl, and he's like, I touched her all the time, I touched her 12 times. I'm like, yeah, on the elbow. That doesn't really escalate the touching. Yeah, I definitely think, and it's interesting because the more intelligent guys are, generally the bigger problems they have with touching. Like, I was a very non-touchy person when I got into this. I still don't really like to be touched if I'm not into it. So I definitely can understand how it's difficult to make that transition, but you kind of have to go out for a little while and be the creepy touchy guy and figure out where the lines are, because by over-touching, you'll learn when to not overdo it.
Well, getting back to phone game for a minute, I think another area where guys tend to overdo it is that when they get girls on the phone, women love to chat on the phone, right? And guys can get on the phone with a girl and they'll get into these long conversations. I mean, they'll stay on the phone for hours. As long as the girl is willing to keep talking to them on the phone, they're willing to keep going and going and going. I mean, I've known guys who will stay up all night talking to a girl on the phone or chatting with her on the internet before they've ever had sex with her or even been out with her, you know? So I think it's a mistake personally. My rule of thumb is to keep things brief, and the whole purpose of that phone call is to set up the next time I'm going to see her. I don't want to burn out and give her every detail about my life and my whole history over the phone. Now, I know you approach this differently. You do have these really long phone calls with girls, and you do exchange all this deep personal information. That's part of your whole process. But, you know, do you think that for some guys it is a mistake?
It is if you don't have interesting opinions on things, if you don't have your own life, if you don't have things you're passionate about, if you're not genuinely interested in the other girl, and if you're not good at verbally sexualizing on the phone, then yes, it can definitely be a trap. Those happen to be all things I'm really good at, though. So for me, like, I would not recommend most guys talk on the phone for that long. But it's something that I do really frequently. Just because I'm a talker, you know, like I can talk to girls for like I always, the joke around all my female friends and everything is that, like, on a long enough scale around me, like, if a girl talks to me for a long enough time, like, the chances of her not sleeping with me eventually drop to zero. Like, I truly believe that. Like, my female friends have all laughed about this. They're like, oh yeah, like, this new girl just came into the group. Like, she hasn't had her 8 hours of John talking his, like, faux romantic bullshit at her yet. She's like, once she hits that, then she'll sleep with you too. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's a matter of time. So for me, it's just a little different, right? Like, I'm not gonna get sucked into being a crying shoulder. Like, I'm not gonna come off like a friend. I'm gonna make sexual jokes and, like, tell her that I want to have sex with her. You know, like, I'm gonna, you know, be good at getting the right information out of her and talking and conveying who I am and not coming off needy or like I'm looking for a girlfriend. But it's a tough thing to carry off, you know? So I recommend most guys, like, keep it fun and flirty. As soon as you start to feel a lull in the conversation, like, even me, like, there's some girls who are real bad on the phone and I blame them, not me. But, like, there was this Hooters waitress that I had, like, dated for a few months in Dallas. And, like, I literally for, like, 6 months never talked to her for more than 5 minutes on the phone because she was so awkward. Like, she didn't laugh at anything. She didn't, like, she wasn't nice. Like, she was just, like, dead air. So, I mean, as soon as it starts to die off, cut it off and be the one to get off the phone first. But if it's fun and flirty, I'll stay on for forever because I'm always making up ground. Like, the girls I stay on the phone with that for that long, like, the time before I have sex with them on first dates is, like, 90 minutes. Like that girl Marie, it was literally, like, we met for coffee, and then I was like, hey, show me your apartment. And then we had sex, like, as soon as we got through the door. So, I mean, it definitely, for me, it's like, if I can't see the girl for a week or so, like, it's a good way to keep it fresh and keep the emotional momentum there.
Well, it's funny, John. Another area in which you and I take a different approach is the whole subject of talking about exes. Because women will often ask you during that first conversation, or definitely during that first long phone call, you know, about your exes. When was your last relationship? How long were you going out with her? And then, of course, why did you break up with her? And I try to avoid this subject like a minefield. I try to stay away from it because I feel that it puts the girl in a bad emotional mind frame. If she starts talking about her ex-boyfriend, the guy who broke her heart and cheated on her or whatever. And I don't want to discuss my own exes because I feel like you really can't give a right answer about why you broke up with the girl. Like, no matter how you phrase it, the girl you're talking to might think that you sound callous or shallow or, you know, you were the dick and it was your fault. Basically, I just try to avoid the topic. But you, on the other hand, you've told me before that you're all about talking about your exes and you always bring it into the conversation.
Yeah, because, like, I have exes who were bisexual. I have exes who were, like, fashion models. I have exes who were, like B-list actresses. Like, my list of exes is a line of things that make me sound like the awesomest guy in the world. So yeah, I mean, for me, like, I have no problems with that whatsoever. Like, it's not a big deal. And I also, you can also use that to set expectations for the next relationship. Like I'll say things like, yeah, you know, like, I hated about my last girlfriend was, like, she was super needy. She would, like, call and text me all the time. Like, I can't stand girls who need, like, 50 text messages a day, you know, like I want to talk to girl, like, I want to talk to people that I'm seeing on, like, maybe once a day or, like, once every other couple of days. Like, I don't like the, like, jumping right into relationship stuff. And so then I can, like, frame her not to call me as much, or, like, I can talk about how I only date bisexual girls. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with exes.
All right, so now let's jump ahead to a type of close that I'm sure a lot of our listeners are curious to learn more about, and that's the same night lay, pulling the girl from the bar or the club, getting her home that night for sex. And this same night lay can result in a one-night stand, meaning you never wind up seeing her again, Or that same night lay could lead to a relationship, because plenty of the girls that I've dated, I had sex with on the first night. Now, back in the day, when I had very weak game, I thought that it was virtually impossible to pull this stuff off with a quality girl. Like, you know, any girl who was true girlfriend material wouldn't hop in bed with you on the same night. Well, I came to realize that women are as up for sex as we are if you lead them down the right path. And I'll tell you, the best first date with a girl is a first date where you've already had sex with her the first night that you met her. Now you're taking her out, having fun with her, and that bridge has already been crossed. Like, all that pressure has been removed. So getting that girl in the bed as fast as possible is the best way for you to then build a relationship with her. And if you don't get her into bed within a week or two of meeting her, oftentimes, you know, your chances of ever getting it in the future just dwindle down to zero. So the bottom line is, whether you just want this girl for one night of sex or whether you want to pursue a relationship with her, you've got to go for that same night lay whenever the circumstances allow for it. So John, you pull these off all the time. What factors need to be in place for a same night lay to occur?
Logistics are the most important factor, really, meaning how she got there, who she's with, what she has to do the next day. Other than that, like, you need to be really good at verbal sexual escalation, and you need to be able to physically escalate in a way that doesn't make the girl feel like you're sexually needy, and you also need to convey that you're non-judgmental and that you're not going to judge her. I used to teach a five-hour course on same-night lays. Like, I've probably had close to 200 of them at this point. I mean, I was obsessed for, like, 3 years with same night lays. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Sexual framing is a part of it. Handling group logistics is a part of it. I mean, the biggest thing is logistics. If you don't have the right logistics, you're not getting a same night lay. So that's definitely the most important part.
Well, I said a minute ago how getting the same night lay is all about leading the girl down the path towards sex. Like, you've got to lead her there. You can't be passive. So what are the things that a guy needs to do in order to get a woman in the right mindset to have sex that first night? And how do you overcome that natural female anti-slut mechanism? You know, like, women have this built-in defense where they tell themselves, well, I like him, but I really shouldn't go home with him tonight because I just met him and I don't want to be a slut. You know, you've got to get past that in order to get her into bed. So how do you go about that?
I talk it like, it's really important to set the frame that you're not judgmental and that she's not judgmental. Right? Like, you have to qualify her for being non-judgmental, and you have to ground yourself and talk about yourself and how you hate judgmental people and think that people shouldn't judge. That's a big part of it. The other part is you've got to kind of give her a sexual identity, right? You want to start to shape the way she's acting with your qualifiers. So I might qualify a girl for being really independent. I might give her like a psychological test that tells her that she's sexually aggressive when she's attracted to someone. Basically, I have like 14 sexual frames that I go through that basically take away all the objections to sex, right? Basically, like, when I started going out and working specifically on same-night lays, I found that there were a decent amount of objections that are very, like, common, right? Like, I don't want to look like a slut. Will you respect me in the morning? Will it be weird? Meaning, you know, will the guy want to be her boyfriend, or will he like leave before she wakes up? You know, like, her being you want to define her as an emotional person, someone who makes decisions quickly, someone who's independent. Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, but you want to start to qualify her and compliment her for being the way that she would need to be the type of girl who doesn't care about her reputation and stuff like that. So other than that, like, you also want to deal with the friends. The more the friends like you, the more comfortable they're going to be leaving her with you. That's another big part of it. And the other thing is, like, talking about discretion, right? Like, I always tell a story about how this girl, this stupid, stupid, stupid girl, Carrie, who I did not have sex with, told everyone in our friend group that I had sex with her. And it was like World War III. Like, I was so mad. Because I just don't kiss and tell. I think it's really not classy to, like, talk about specifics with people, like, especially among friend groups, right? Now, that's a true story. This girl did claim to have sex with me, and, like, I made out with her once. But telling that story, the subcommunication of me telling her that story tells her, I'm not going to kiss and tell. Like, I'm not going to tell people we had sex. It's going to be between me and her. She doesn't need to worry about me ruining her reputation. So stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I use the same type of tactic. When I'm going for a same-night lay, I always plant the seed during the conversation that I'm a discreet guy and I like discretion. And I don't like people who kiss and tell, like you just said, you know? Because one of the worst fears that women have as far as hooking up is everyone finding out and then them being branded as a slut. You know, a lot of girls back in high school or college, they hooked up with a guy at a party, which maybe they regretted, and everyone found out and they were totally humiliated. So that carries over. And so I'll always plant that seed. I'll tell a little story. Like, I'll check my cell phone and I'll say, oh my God, my friend Mike just texted me. He is so pissed. he had a company party last night. And there's this girl that he works with that has had a crush on him for a long time. And then last night, you know, they drank too much at the party. He wound up taking her home. They hooked up. And then she told everyone at the office about what happened. And so today, Mike was getting emails from all of his friends at work, like joking about it, making jokes. And he was pissed off because, you know, Mike's a guy who doesn't kiss and tell. And I'm the exact same way. So, you know, I have lots of little stories like that that I can bust out. Just to underscore the fact that I'm a discreet kind of guy, and that puts a girl's mind at ease. So in my program, MAC Tactics, I talk a lot about the importance of planting these kinds of seeds. And if it's not a story about yourself that you can tell, you can always tell a story about someone you know. But John, like I was saying earlier, very few guys will actually go for the same night lay. Instead, if the conversation is going pretty well, they'll figure, well, I should try to make this girl trust me. I should be like a total gentleman and totally nice guy and make her think that I don't want to sleep with her. And then when I see her again on a date, that's when I can try to move things to the next level. The problem is, in a lot of cases, you don't get that next chance. Or if you have that first date, it doesn't go really anywhere. The guy did have an opportunity to sleep with her that first night, but he let it pass him by. And if he had stopped trying to come off as this nice, harmless guy and had sexualized the interaction, you know, and started to flirt and started to escalate and build body contact and all that other stuff we've been discussing and qualifying, if he had done that, he would have gotten the same night lay. But so few guys go for it.
Yeah, well, the problem is there's two problems going on here, right? The first one is the pussy effect, and the second one is the fact that the number one best way to get a girl to see you again is to have sex with her as quickly as possible. Like, as soon as you have sex with a girl, the power flip switches, and now she's going to go into chase mode no matter what. Like, it's a very, very specific type of girl that does not instantly want to, like, hang out again after she has sex. Like, there are some girls out there who just want the one-night thing, or, you know, they have boyfriends or whatever, but for most normal, healthy girls that you would want to date, like, every girl you meet who you're like, this is girlfriend material, your goal should be to try to fuck that girl as quickly as possible. Because the best way to make a girl your girlfriend is to sleep with her as quickly as possible. That's kind of the first thing. And the second thing is the pussy effect, right? One of the reasons that, like, a lot of the times girls will actually turn off when everything is seemingly going well is that you don't escalate enough. If you don't escalate to a certain what a girl feels like is the threshold of her being attractive, because women want to be seductive. Like, one of the things that men do not understand, especially in this industry, because women don't want to seduce guys they're not attracted to, but when a woman's attracted, her ability to turn a guy on and make him want her and make him come is like a major part of her femininity and her sexual identity. So because of that, like, if you don't escalate enough, you can actually mess up interactions that were going really well, because what happens is our old friend cognitive dissonance that we talked about earlier kicks in, right? If you're talking to a girl for 35, 40 minutes and you don't touch her at all, or you don't try to kiss her or like get close to her or tell her she's sexy or anything like that because you're afraid you're going to mess it up by being too forward, you'll often find that she starts to go cold on you because in her mind, it's obvious she likes you. She's sitting in an isolated conversation with you. She left her friends to talk to you, you know. She's answering your qualifying questions. She's, like, demonstrating interest in you. And you're not doing anything about it. So then our friend cognitive dissonance kicks in, and she's like, fuck, well, what's wrong with this guy? Why isn't he making a move? Is it that I'm ugly? Am I not his type? Is he gay? And none of those answers make her feel good, right? But there is an answer out there that does make her feel good. And that answer is, oh, he must not feel like he's good enough for me. He's kind of like a pussy. And then the girl gets turned off. And I've talked to a lot of my female friends about that, and they've all confirmed that, like, if a guy doesn't escalate when they're giving a lot of signs, because that's the thing, like, by the time you notice, this is one thing that me and my female friends always say, like, by the time you notice one indicator of interest that a girl has given you, she's thrown five of them at you. Like, by the time you pick up one sign that a girl's given you as a normal guy, like, she's given you 10 of them. And you've missed, like she feels like she's throwing herself at you, and she starts to feel insecure about it if she's not rewarded, right? If she's not getting some sort of escalation or attention or anything, she starts to feel bad. And so that's why you can't be afraid to escalate. Like, if a girl tells you to slow down, just slow down. It's not that big of a deal. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to kiss a girl and they've rejected me, and then, you know, four or five times later, I kiss them and end up having sex with them half an hour later. No's are not a big deal. Guys just are pussies, and they want to get through their whole lives without ever getting rejected. Like, I get rejected a decent amount, but I've also had sex with, like, five girls who have been in Playboy and, like, countless beautiful women. So it's like Warren Beatty once said, right? Like, you get slapped in the face a lot, but you get laid a lot too. you can't be afraid of rejection and have an awesome sex life, because it just is a part of the game. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to get that girl. You know, just because you don't get her then doesn't mean you're never going to get her. It just means not yet.
Oh, that is so true. As soon as the girl denies that first kiss or that first move, a lot of guys just totally lose heart and completely back off, which is a mistake. You got to back up a little bit and then keep moving forward. Now, John, as far as getting her back to your place, as far as the actual closing line you use or the tactic that you use to get her to leave the venue with you and come back to your place, do you have specific techniques for this?
Yeah, you want to just have a go-to, like, default reason to go back. I've lived in apartments with hot tubs for the last little bit, so I'll use that. Like, I like to keep a bottle of champagne in my apartment. Girls like champagne. Suggesting to go back for a glass of champagne on the balcony or, like, in a hot tub, I do that. I buy, like, $4 Korbel champagne. It's not expensive. Sometimes I'll have, like, a piece of music or, like, an episode of a TV show that I'll invite girls back to watch.
That's right. You've got to give her a specific reason. It's really important because, you know, you're both adults. You know, she knows where this is going. Going back to your place for a glass of champagne at 2 o'clock in the morning, she knows this is leading to sex. But you've got to give women that plausible deniability so that she won't regret it later. She'll say to herself, well, you know, I didn't mean to go home and have sex with him, but things just sort of happened. That's how it should feel to her, like things just naturally took their course. And so whenever possible, plant some seeds during that conversation about that piece of music or that piece of artwork back at your place or that funny video you want to show her sometime. Like, create that reason so that later on you can bring it up as your reason to bring her back to your place. And it doesn't need to be something amazing that you want to show her. It can just, you know, just something, a reason, something plausible.
You don't need a great excuse. You just need something that allows the girl to think, like, to it's basically and then it just happened effect, right? It's like a girl doesn't want to tell her friends, like, oh, I slept with this guy last night. Oh, what happened? Oh, well, you know, we were out having some drinks, then he suggested going back to his place and fucking, and then we went and did it. Like, it's like, no, we were having some drinks, and then I didn't want to drive home because I was drunk. That's another one I'll use, because, like, most of my dates involve bars, so I'll be like, oh, you can't drive yet. Let me give you some water so you don't get a DUI. That's another good one. I mean, like, I used to get real cutesy. The key is, like, you don't want something so interesting that it takes away from the fact that you're going to try to, like, have sex with her when she comes up, but you don't want something so boring that it's, like, lame enough that she doesn't want to come up, right? So you got to kind of straddle that line. Like, for a while, I had, like, I mean, I used to have some, like, real interesting shit. Like, I used to have, like, mind reading, like, little gimmicks and gadgets and stuff, or I used to have, like, runes and, like, all sorts of stuff that just, like, drew out the conversation for, like, way too long. And just didn't really help me. So you want something that's, like, easily agreeable to, but not really that interesting. Like, I used to, like, I mean, if it's really on, then I'll go a little one step further and I'll be like, come back so we can make out like teenagers. Or I'll be like, come back, you know, so you can check out my view. Like, I'll do something that's like a very thin pretense. But again, that's only if it's more on. Generally, I'll just give a pretense that sounds sort of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another part of setting up the same night lay, John, a technique that you and I both use all the time, is moving with the girl from spot to spot. Like, if you're sitting with a girl in a restaurant for 2 hours having a long dinner, and then at the end of the dinner, after not moving for 2 hours, you were to say to her, so, let's go back to my place for a glass of champagne. That's going to sound awkward, okay? On the other hand, if throughout the course of the night you've been moving with her from bar A to bar B to bar C, then you've gotten her psychologically used to the idea of moving places with you. And even better, take her by the hand and lead her out of the place and bring her into the new place, okay? Build that body contact. It's important to keep things moving and keep that momentum going. And what this also accomplishes is it sort of distorts her sense of time. Like, even though she only met you 2 hours ago, it doesn't feel that way because you've been with her in multiple environments. And then at that point, suggesting bringing her back to your place doesn't feel like a big leap. It just feels like the next step in this fun time you're having tonight. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Yeah, especially on a date. On a date, I have a 3-venue change rule. Like, every date I go on, we go to 3 separate places because by that time, the girl will go with you anywhere. So yeah, I highly recommend that. Yeah, if you think it's not close, try to bounce them somewhere else first.
Yeah, and as far as these first dates go, years ago, I used to be like most guys. I didn't really expect to hook up on the first date at all. I saw the first date as basically my chance to make a good impression, take her out somewhere nice, spend some money on her, be a perfect gentleman, don't make a move on her, you know, and then hopefully she would like me enough to see me again in the future, and then I could build from there. But in a lot of cases, you know, you don't get that second date, or you go on date 2, 3, and 4, you never hook up, and things just fizzle out. So, John, what are some things that guys can do to ensure success on the first date? And by success, I mean taking her back to your place and hooking up.
You got to kind of script your date. That's the one thing I would encourage everyone to do is, like, your date is a controllable entity, right? Like, I've been going on the same date for literally, like, 6 years, maybe 5 years. But, like, I literally go on the same date twice a week. It's not, like, the big thing is you want to get the girl to meet you at your place and leave her car there, and if you can, get her to leave her purse in your place, right? That's my favorite trick because that's, like, a built-in, at the beginning of the date, you can get her locked into coming back to your place at the end. So, like, I'll have her meet me on the date, I'll be like, oh my god, I forgot my wallet upstairs, come with me. We go back up to my place. I'm like, you know what? My mom is, like, old school, like, Jewish, like, hardcore Orthodox. If she knew I was letting a girl pay for anything on a date, she would kill me. So you have to leave your wallet here. Just grab your ID, but, like, you cannot even bring a purse out or my mom will kill me. And then about 80-90% of girls will go for that at that point. And so then I'll be like, all right, grab your ID, let's go. And now she has to come back at the end of the day to get her purse. So now I don't even have to worry about getting her back on the end of the day. Like, now I can just take my time. Multiple venues are key on the date. Have an idea of, like, what you're going to talk about and, like, have some points where you're going to hit on her. Like, have some points where you demonstrate some sexual interest and let her know that you are interested in her sexually. The walking around is great because it gives you a lot of opportunities to touch. You can, like, walk arm in arm. You can grab her hand and, like, lead her around. And then at the end of the date, but I mean, by then, you should have primed her, and the verbal foreplay should have been enough that you it's pretty easy. I mean, like, a girl who shows up for a date with a guy that she met at a bar really likes that guy. Like, you've got to think about it in terms of, like, how qualified that lead is. Like, she liked you enough that, like, she has no real social context to know you. She doesn't really know much about you, and yet she's still showing up to, like, hang out with you. So that's a girl who wants to get laid. Like, she wants you to be really cool and, like, sweep her up and, like, end up giving her, like, a good night and sex, you know? And I think most guys don't think about that. They think, like, oh, I'm so lucky to get this girl on a date. But, like, a girl who shows up, takes time out of her life for a date, like, that's a girl who really likes you. Like, girls don't go on dates with guys they don't like.
Yeah, and don't forget, it takes these girls, like, 2 hours, usually, to get ready for a date, to do their hair and their makeup and select their outfit and everything. So they don't go through all that time and effort to not be flirted with and to not want to be seduced, you know? But John, and as far as obstacles the guys face in trying to get that same night lay, this would be a same night lay question, not so much a first date question. One of the biggest obstacles guys run into are the cock blocking friends. It's happened to all of us. You meet a girl at a bar or a club or at a party, and things are going well, but she has these bitchy friends who keep coming over and interrupting, trying to drag her away. They obviously don't want her to hook up for whatever reason. How do you deal with that?
I like to get behind the eight ball. There's kind of two ways to deal with it. Like, I like to get behind the eight ball and tell her that her friends are going to cock block her in a little bit, and that, like, it must suck to, like, not be able to talk to anyone cool because her friends are always trying to ward off lame guys. I try to turn the girl into her own, like, advocate, because, like, I know that me telling her friends that everything's cool is not going to work as well as the girl telling her friends everything's cool. So that's my first kind of strategy. Then if they keep coming over, like, I'll actually, like, try to engage them in conversation. I'll just be really nice to them. I'll compliment. I'll ask rapport questions. Because the thing with the friends is that a lot of guys misunderstand and think that they need to get the friends attracted to them. You just need the friends to give you the nice guy vote. Like, all the friends need to think is, like, oh, he's a nice guy who doesn't seem like much of a threat, right? So, like, if you're just overly nice and polite and, like, you offer to buy them drinks or, like, you know, you ask them if they want to do a shot and you compliment what they're wearing, or if the girl's really kind of, like, the fat bitchy friend, like, you tell her she's hot or she looks really cute, that's going to disarm a lot of that stuff. Like, the more they like you, the less they try to cockblock. I've even had situations where female friends or male friends of the girl have invited me to after parties and, like, told me there's empty bedrooms. So, I mean, like, you can definitely win those people over, but it's not a matter of, like, being attractive. It's a matter of being really, like, almost obsequiously nice.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the friend or the cock blocker might be a guy. So that's a tough challenge for a lot of guys. If there's another guy in the mix who is trying to pull her away that, you know, that already knows her, that is trying to cock block, a lot of guys will get intimidated by this and not even try. But how do you handle it?
Well, it depends on the relationship of the guys to the girls, right? Like, random dudes who are coming in the conversation, I'm going to cut that shit out, right? Like, random dude who just, like, comes in and thinks he's going to, like, cold approach this group, I'm going to be like, hey, man, what's your name? And he'll be like, Chris or whatever. I'll be like, oh, man, well, you know, where are you from? Here. Okay, cool. What are you doing out tonight? Awesome. Well, it was really nice meeting you. And then I'm going to, like, actually physically turn him away from the girls and then turn back. Like, I'm just not even going to entertain that. Or I'm going to move the girls away. I'm going to be like, let's go get shots. Sorry, Chris, you're not invited. But yeah, like, I'm just not even going to deal with that. If it's a guy who's in their group already, you want to figure out the relationship, right? If it's, like, a work friend, then you can kind of ignore him. If it's, like, a brother, you got to be nice to the guy. If it's, like, a best gay friend, you got to be nice with the guy and kind of flirt with him. If it's, like, a guy who's, like, an orbiter, they're, like, friends, but it's obvious that he likes her, then you want to just kind of avoid him and, like, try to isolate the girl away. But what you don't want to do is get into, like, any sort of verbal sparring. Like, as soon as guys start being a dick, like, I'll just, like, apologize and then be like, hey, wow, this is kind of awkward now. I'll be like, do you guys mind if I borrow your friend for, like, 5 minutes? Like, I just don't want to, like, I want to keep talking to her, but I don't want to, like, make this weird. Right. And I'll just, like, I'll make it real socially awkward for them. And if the girl's attracted to me, like, then I'll just move her away and, like, number close her and get out of there. Because as soon as it starts to seem like you're fighting over the girls, you both lose. Like, as soon as you get into, like, you know, trying to rag on each other, the girls get unattracted to both of you because you've both lowered your value, like, through the floor. So as soon as a guy starts to get aggressive, I'll try to apologize and then I'll try to isolate the girl and get her number or, like, you know, try to, like, get her to cool him down or something. But, like, I just, not even, like, I'm not afraid, like, not even, like, you're not going to get into a fight. Like, that just doesn't happen. But it doesn't help you get the girl. Like, all of those ideas of, like, out-alphaing guys, like, I've never seen that work once to actually get a girl to have sex with you. Like, you can get phone numbers and stuff with that. But, like, it's such a weird story of how you guys met that it just doesn't fit into a girl's reality.
Yeah, that is true. So, John, before we wrap things up, I want you to share some stories. Like, tell me a story or two about some of these wild nights you've had, maybe some unusual situations and some obstacles you had to overcome to get what you were after.
I'll tell a couple quick stories here about kind of unusual situations. One of them happened when I lived in Dallas, and I had met this girl who was really kind of my physical type. She was, like, red hair, freckles, big boobs. And I started talking to her, and it turned out that her boyfriend was actually the manager of the club we were at. It was a place in Dallas, and I actually met him, and he bought me a shot. You know, he was like, come back with me to the back here, and I thought I was going to get beaten up or something, and he ended up buying me a shot, and he was bringing us food and stuff, and I ended up going home with the girl, and she was like, well, what are you doing now? And I was like, well, I'm going to just head home and probably, like, go in the jacuzzi or something, and she's like, oh, I'll come with you. And she's like, go out that way, though. And we went out, like, separate exits, and we ended up hanging out and having sex later. And then he, like, texted her. That one was kind of made me feel a little bad for a few minutes. But it goes to show that you don't always not get laid when a girl says she has a boyfriend, even if he's there. And my other favorite story actually happened in boot camp. This one happened on a boot camp where in Boston. And we had just gotten kicked out of a bar, and we walked up to this other bar, and it was like, the bar was closing in like 45 minutes, and I sent a student in to talk to some girls, and there was one girl in there who, like, was really, really cute, and again, was a redhead with freckles and big boobs, and I decided I was just gonna, since there was not really that much time, I was just basically gonna tell her that I liked her, I wanted to have sex with her, and that she was my physical type, and so I did that for like 45 minutes. And it was really funny because I tried to kiss her like 3 or 4 times and she refused. And then afterwards, she kept talking to me and like she was cuddling and stuff like that. And then I was like, all right, well, let's get out of here. And she's like, I'm not going home with you. And I'm like, I think we both know you are. Let's just stop pretending. And she's like, all right, fine, but I'm not having sex with you. And we went home and obviously we had sex. And then while we're having sex, she's like, remember when I told you we weren't having sex? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, that was a lie. I'm like, really? Thank you for clearing that up. So those are a couple kind of funny stories from my life, which I hope, you know, helps you guys to go out and create your own stories.
That's right. You want to be the guy that when you meet your buddies for a beer, you're going to tell them, guys, you would not believe the night that I had last night. You know, having these great stories to share is such a fun part of what we're out there doing. So this was the final interview in my interview series with John Sin. I hope you've learned a ton of helpful tactics and techniques. And also, I hope that this interview series has given you a new attitude and a new mindset towards women, attraction, dating, whatever your goals may be. These tactics can be used to make them happen. Some guys who are listening want to become master pickup artists and have a new girl every night of the week, you know, and other guys want to find that one amazing, high-quality girlfriend. The bottom line is, if you want to be with beautiful women, you've got to know how to make yourself stand apart from the crowd. You've got to know how to make her feel attraction and feel sexual attraction towards you and not just see you as a nice, friendly guy. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're the kind of guy who wants to be out there picking up girls at the nightclubs or whether there's a girl you really like and you want to turn her into a girlfriend. All these principles and rules and techniques still very much apply. So get out there, start putting this knowledge to use, and I look forward to hearing your success stories very soon. All right, until next time, this is your wingman, Dean Cortez, and I'm signing off. Until next time, this is your wingman, Dean Cortez, and I'm signing off.